Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, and good morning, everybody, on this Monday morning, back in studio after the trip to New York City for the Big Ten Tournament. Back in studio starting today and for quite a while. Glad you're with us here on A Penny for Your Thoughts, the Monday Morning Quarterback Show, as we always do during football and basketball seasons up until around April. We bring you the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Lauren Tate is here with me as well. Lots to talk about today, of course. The Big Ten Tournament wrapped up yesterday. Michigan Wolverines win it again. Back-to-back Big Ten Tournament Championships.
They have magic going at tournament time, don't they?
John Beilein's teams are pretty amazing to watch.
They absolutely peak, at least the last 2 years.
So they beat Purdue yesterday over in New York City by a final of 75-66 as Xavier Simpson and John Teske had big ball games. So did Mo Wagner. He was the outstanding player of the tournament. Isaac Haas, 23 for the Boilermakers in the loss. Women's championship went to Ohio State. They beat 17th-ranked Maryland to win the Big Ten Women's Tournament. That was over in Indianapolis. The Illini men and women's seasons are done. I looked it up, Lauren, the NIT last year with the whole transition from John Gross, Jamal Walker to Brad Underwood. We were actually playing games up until like March 22nd that event.
Yeah, so we looked pretty good in the home games if we hadn't had to go on the road in the NIT. Walker did a good job, didn't he?
He did do a good job.
Brought
them back together.
Well, you got to remember something. Illinois had a nice four-game winning streak just won some really big games going into that Rutgers final game of the season, which would have put them in the NCAA, surely. And they lost that one. Then they lost to Michigan. And the next thing you know, we got a new coach.
Yeah, that's how quickly it happened a year ago at this time. So we can get into some of that. What's ahead for the Illini men's basketball program? That's the next question, right?
Yeah, I'm almost afraid to touch that because it's so uncertain right now as to who's coming back and who isn't. I've heard now from three different, completely different sources. One source out of town, one source in town, and one source in the office, that several players are considering transferring. And we know that that's likely to happen. Now, they're considering transferring and actually transferring are two different things.
Right.
But I think that there are going to be some really high-level important meetings on campus this week to determine maybe, I don't know if this would be final, but because actually, a student-athlete could go right to the end of the semester and decide not to come back, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I think most of these decisions will probably be made this week. Some of them at least will. Some guys are going to be gone. Some guys are going to be coming back.
And Brad Underwood has been busy. He and his staff, once the tournament was over, he was looking at guys out east.
Yeah, and he's out recruiting tomorrow, I know, because he was invited to go to that Coaches on Cancer thing, and he said he couldn't do it because, you know, they got a Sing Fest down at the city building. He said he couldn't do it because he's out recruiting. So we know he's going to be busy, and as all the coaches are, trying to not only nail down players for the coming season, but also this big 2019 class, which is going to be a better in-state class with people like E.J. Liddell and others that are really hot items for the following year.
All right, we'll talk about a lot of that with recruiting news. Brad Underwood, by the way, we will have one more Brad Underwood radio show. Just want to mention this tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy, kind of sum up the season.
Yeah.
From 7 to 8, that'll be our last network broadcast of the year. But that'll be tonight, so if you want to go say hi to the coach, we'll be there tonight from 7 to 8.
It's kind of frustrating to hear him talk when he can't talk about what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
We want to talk about recruiting. How's he doing recruiting? Well, I can't talk about that. Who's going to be back? Well, I can't talk about that. Won't talk about that. I mean, the things that people are just really hanging on the edge on, he's got to avoid.
Yeah.
Partly because the NCAA rules and partly because it doesn't benefit him to talk about who on his team might be coming back or not coming back.
We'll hit on some other Fighting Illini news as well. A good weekend, of course, for Isaiah Martinez. Four Big Ten championships. First Illini to ever do that.
By this way, he grinded this out. This Joseph guy is the one that beat him in the NCAA championship last year. And it was a 1-1 with riding. He was winning on riding time with 10 seconds to go, and then he got a turnaround and had a takedown, and actually wound up winning 4-1. But he was going to win on riding time anyway. Mm-hmm. But boy, oh boy, this it was not easy. And by the way, we shouldn't overlook. I mean, everything isn't rosy in football and basketball. My goodness, the baseball team just had a terrific trip to Minnesota. Weber pitched into the eighth inning with a really throwing a shutout ball there for seven innings, and the Illini won 7-1 in Washington yesterday. And then I watched the tennis team play yesterday, and Alex Brown won a terrific match at number two singles. He came back and won the third set to win 4-3 against last year's NCAA champion Virginia.
Virginia Cavaliers. So we'll talk about all that. Baseball and softball, by the way, go a combined 8-0 this weekend in two different locations. So
wow.
We'll talk about all that. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357 or email us talk@wdws.com. We can talk basketball. Spring football starts tomorrow morning. We'll tell you about that as we go along. News about Steve Stricker and Mike Small over the weekend. They were in a tournament together. Out in Tucson, so we'll get into all of that coming up here in the minutes ahead. And also, may have Colin Likas jump in with us here in the second hour. Just a quick update on some of the high school teams still playing. Muhammad Central is still playing, and Monticello.
Muhammad Seymour and Champaign Central play really strong Springfield teams tomorrow and Wednesday, yep. And boy, we could be out of the tournament. I mean, it'll take some really. I think that Central's got a better chance probably than Muhammad Seymour. Central's played a heck of a schedule this year.
Yes, they have. All right, we'll talk about all that coming up. Your yard's an important part of the special place you call home. Let the local lawn care professionals at Spring Green take special care of your lawn and landscape investment. Trust your lawn to the higher standards of Spring Green. If it's easy to get rid of weeds, anyone can do that. What's hard is to have your yard looking good all year long, even in the upcoming summer months, and Spring Green Lawn Care can take care of that. The University of Illinois, by the way, trusts Spring Green Lawn Care to provide some specialized applications to the athletic fields at the University of Illinois. Spring Green Lawn Care has been a trusted provider of lawn care, tree care, insect care services for 35 years, and they've just taken care of a lot of folks here in their 35th year. So make sure you check out what they have to offer. Call J.T. Wambeer or Steve Emke, 359-2111, or visit spring-green.com, one of our sponsors here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We're Monday morning quarterbacking today. We'll come back after our opening break, visit with Lauren Tate up until 11 o'clock. What's on your mind today? Future of the Illini men's basketball program? What about these other sports that are doing well? Or anything else you want to mention today? We'll do all that next as we get it started here on a Monday. Stay tuned. Welcome back on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Monday morning here with Lauren Tate. Glad you're with us. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. We have some lines available at the moment. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 3515-357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Just kind of quickly reviewed off the top all the top stories of the weekend, both for Illini sports, Big Ten sports with the Big Ten men's tournament and women's tournament wrapping up this week, and now what do they do for the next 2 weeks? Those Big Ten teams, I wonder. Lauren Tate, if you're...
I don't think that the outcome of the Big Ten tournament indicates what you can expect in the NCAA tournament. It never has, and as good as Michigan appears right now, I still think Michigan State, if is okay. Sometimes Michigan State doesn't play as well in the Big Ten tournament, and then they're pretty strong in the NCAA. So I don't know. It's Purdue, they had four starters who had subpar games yesterday. Mm-hmm. Everybody but Haas. All four of those guys, Matthias had a weak game. I mean, both Edwards had weak games for them. Mm-hmm. And they lost. They were down 18, I saw at one point. I don't know what the margin was, the largest margin was, but they were way behind. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Purdue can bounce back, but they've got to shoot it. They've got to shoot because every team, I mean, the three-point shot just turns games around so fast.
Well, it's interesting to me because now with the extra week, because normally the Big Ten tournament would have been this week, you'd say, well, it's okay if we don't play the three games in 3 days or four games in 4 days because we're going to have to turn around and play again on Thursday or Friday or whatever. Well, now you're going to have plenty of rest between, you know, Purdue or Michigan State or one of those teams.
Is that good now? Or do you think
I don't know. That's the whole.
I don't
whole,
know either. I don't see how it could be bad. I mean, you really, fresh legs are the most important thing. Fresh legs and ability to shoot.
Vince Edwards can get healed up for Purdue.
And then you've also got, you don't know who you're going to be. Pairings make an awful lot of difference. Some teams just play better against other certain teams, you know, certain styles mesh better with, you know, depending. And so I don't know. I think this thing is just wide open.
Loyola of Chicago's in the dance. First time since 1985.
That's something.
Do you remember some of the names off of that?
No, I can't.
I'll have to look it up again. Yeah. I was going to, but they had a great team in 85.
Yeah.
But it's been that long. So congratulations to Loyola of Chicago. Let's go to Alan here on our Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Go ahead, Alan. How are you? Hello, Alan.
You
there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, there you are. We found you.
Oh, okay. Hey, one of those guys on that Loyola team back then, wasn't it Al Frederick Hughes? Wasn't he the one?
Well, he was a star player. I didn't know which year it was, but I do know Illinois lost to Al Frederick Hughes and Loyola in Chicago when Lou Henson was coaching. I do remember that, yes. But I don't remember. I didn't know if it was 85, but it probably was.
Well, anyway, I'm going to, lack of anybody else, I'm going to root for them in this tournament. I don't think Michigan will want that week and a half off. I think they're such a hot club that they want to keep playing. I think the week and a half off is going to hurt them, but maybe not. Next year, I think the three teams are going to be really good. It depends on whether Michigan keeps Walker or not. I don't know if they'll go pro or not, but I think Michigan will be one of them. I think Maryland will be, and I think Iowa will be. If they can shore up their defense.
Well, yeah, if they can shore up their defense. But, I mean, here's the problem. We don't know who's returning anywhere. Cook has talked about leaving Iowa. We don't know who's going to be back at Maryland. I think you're right about Maryland being really good. And Wagner, I mean, he's as hot as it's going to be for him, isn't he? I mean, he's from Berlin, Germany. Why wouldn't he turn pro? I don't know. Willie, we've got all kinds of players. Is Carr going to turn pro for Penn State? That'll change them, certainly. We have to wait and see who plays, who stays, and who goes.
Is Diop going to turn pro, or you would think he would?
Is who?
Diop.
Oh, Bates Diop. Well, yeah, I think so. He's got a year to go, but I think he'll turn pro, although he's way down on the he's not going to be in the top 16 in the draft, that is. And I don't understand why, but I just saw a mock draft. I just studied the mock drafts this weekend, and he's not in there that high.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, somebody knows more than I do. I don't know. Now,
two teams I see really dropping off for next year, and that's Northwestern and Minnesota. Everybody else is going to kind of stay the same or get better.
Well, I don't think Ohio State will stay the same. I think they'll be worse. Don't you?
They were supposed to have a real good recruiting class coming in.
Well, okay, if you can win with freshmen, okay. But, I mean, they got the Wesson brothers, but they lose some other players that are key to them. Tate's a good player, and Bates Diop is a good player, and they lose their guard, too. They lose their point guard. So, I'm sorry, not their point guard, Cam Williams, their second guard. So they've got three starters.
Griffin considered a three-star or whatever. Never did hear much about him.
Who's that?
Alan Griffin?
Yes.
I think he's a three-star, yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Frederick Hughes did play on that team, by the way. 26 points a game, nearly 10 rebounds a game. Andre Battle.
Uh-huh.
Carl Golston.
Yeah.
Andre Moore. Greg Williams. Those are the top five scorers for that Loyola team from 1985. They're in the NCAA tournament, first time since then, under the leadership of Porter Moser, who used to be the coach at Illinois State.
And he's just doing a terrific job.
He really is.
He really is.
And he's a Rick Majerus disciple, by the way. He was down in St. Louis.
Yeah, he's going to pick up the phone and call Rick, you know, and Rick is deceased. Great guy.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You were talking about overrated a minute ago. I don't know if they're overrated or if it's just so much parity, but the Big 12 at one time or another have had six teams in the top 10, and now you wonder if any of them's going to make it to the Elite Eight because Oklahoma fell on hard times, but they can beat anybody at any time if they make it into the tournament, which I don't know if they will or not. Texas Tech has flashes of brilliance, and then they're in the dumpster. You never know what Kansas is going to do and has beaten some good teams, too. I don't know if their conference is overrated or if they're just all so equal they beat each other up.
Kansas State's got a bad coach who's taken his team to this NCAA tournament six times in 8 years. He's a really bad coach, isn't he? You know how tough it is to win at Kansas State? I mean, he's done a heck of a job there.
Yeah, I liked him when he was at SIU. I'm a SIU alum, and I hated to see him go to Illinois. But, he just keeps winning.
Well, what makes this NCAA, and we know this, but what makes the NCAA tournament so great is the one-and-done nature of it. I mean, in the NBA, the best of seven, Golden State's going to win most of the time, but you just don't know in this thing. I mean, this is
one bad day.
This is a crapshoot.
It's like I said about Purdue. They had Purdue had four players have off games the same day. You know, that's all it takes to knock you out. What'd you say about Oklahoma?
Oklahoma will make it.
I don't know. Are they on the border? They're on the bubble, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah, I think they'll get in.
Because of the star power name of that guard, everybody will want to watch him play. So I think they'll take that into consideration maybe. I don't know whether they should or not, but I like to watch him play. He shoots from way out there. You think, man, what are you doing? And swish.
Yeah, well, he's the modeled his game after Steph Curry, so that's how he does it. Anything else,
Thank
Jerry?
You.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. A lot of texts coming in. Let's see here. It says, text, State of Illinois will have a school in the dance thanks to the Valley. Yep, Loyola of Chicago is in. Let's see here. We have text says, with Michael Finke having already graduated, do you think he would transfer to Grand Canyon to play a year with his brother? That's from Kenny.
That seems to be a popular
rumor, anyway.
Rumor, and I don't know if there's anything to it or not. I haven't heard anything officially. I haven't even heard a good solid rumor from the department that might happen, but we're hearing some rough things about some other guys. The key thing is you got two players on the team who have graduated, including Finke and Laron Black. And Laron Black can make money in Europe next year if he goes there, and I know he's considering that.
All right, back to the phones. Let's go to John. Good morning, John. You're on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Brian Lund. Whatever it takes, I just hope they can keep this team semi-together because we've got a 1-2 punch guard that you can't lose these two guys. These two guys are going to be leaders of that team. We just need that big man in the middle to help Black, and I hope Black do stay because this team is going to show an effort next year. They don't know how to play together right now, but next year they're going to know how to play together.
Well, we'll see about knowing how to play together depending on how many new players you're going to have. You've already got one guy we assume that's going to be in the lineup, and that's DeSumo. You got now Alan Griffith coming. You got
Frazier.
Certainly Frazier's going to be in there, but you've got three or four or five guys now that are uncertain where they're coming back.
I think
everybody is assuming that Matisse Vassil is gone, and Mark Smith is weighing his options, as is.
Another thing is that that Kansas game, I think Kansas helped somebody get in the dance. I really do. I don't know what happened to Kansas this weekend.
After they clinched it, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think they helped somebody get in. That wasn't Kansas' team.
Well, they've had some rough times even this season, but They seem to always wind up on top of the Big 12.
Hey, yep. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. We've got news headlines coming up. But first, this timeout on Monday Morning Quarterbacking. Join us.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357.
We are back. Penny for Your Thoughts here on this Monday morning, as we do during the course of the sports seasons, which the basketball season ended quite early this year, of course, with a loss to Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. Still lots of other Illini sports to talk about. We're at 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com, and you can text us as well. I don't know if this was left over from Saturday. Got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. I'm concerned about Underwood's choice of assistant coaches. All are capable, but new to Underwood. Typically, a head coach has one trusted assistant that tags along from job to job.
We mentioned that Saturday. We're glad that Evans didn't tag along from Oklahoma State.
Text here, bring back Zook for football. At least he can get you to 500 in occasional Rose Bowl. Let's see here. Text also from Benny says, good morning. As frustrating and as disappointing as the Illini basketball season was, I'm looking forward to the NCAA tournament. Now can see how my other teams will do and if they can make a run. Also, he asks, Thad Motta wants to coach again, I heard. He met with officials at Ole Miss last Friday.
That's interesting that Thad Motta would want to coach again this quick, because physically he was so weak from his back surgery and his drop foot problem, it's such a demanding job where you travel so much and you're working around the clock, and physically I don't know if he's up to it. I mean, he thinks he is, evidently, or he wouldn't be applying.
Also, a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, the young man that transferred from Kentucky to Michigan, Charles Matthews, was Illinois ever in the running?
You know, I don't think Illinois was ever in the running for him out of high school, and I don't know when he transferred. I don't know. I don't know that Illinois was ever in the running for him. I don't think we were.
All right, and got a text in, says football and basketball are over. Let's give Lauren a break on Mondays. And I'm sure Alan will find something to call in and critique anyway. And also another text says it's pretty bad when Illinois basketball is behind six other schools in the state of Illinois. So that latest text in. You can join us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. And you can email us, talk at WDWS. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way. You can call us. And that's what Carl did. Hi, Carl. Good morning.
Hi there, guys. How are you?
Good.
I was just I read the article by Mike Pearson yesterday about Yoshi Hayashi.
Hayasaki.
Mispronouncing the name, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that when he started as the gymnastics coach for Illinois, as the head coach, he was 27. And so I couldn't help but think that maybe Austin Clark as a 27-year-old defensive line coach isn't that silly at all. And considering that Harley Nickerson will be looking after him, and Levy Smith, and probably Luke Butkus when the two lines are working together, he should be okay.
Well, I don't think age is going to hold him back at all. I mean, he's smart and he's enthusiastic and he knows the business and he's got Lovey on his side. Lovey's crazy about him, so I don't think age is any factor there at all.
Okay, well, Mark Tupper was talking about it in a column a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
That it might be a concern about how he'll deal with the older defensive linemen.
All right. Anything else, Carl?
I wanted to throw that in.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
Do you think Porter Moseley could do some kind of, I forget the word, work with Illinois, come in just as a consultant about how not to foul. I've heard that they're the third best team as far as fouling goes in the country.
Well, I don't know John Beilein. I know his teams don't foul.
They only had five turnovers, too, was it?
Yeah, that's something
good.
Like that.
Yeah, don't make mistakes. That's good.
Yeah.
Don't put them on the line and don't turn it over.
Brad Underwood would agree that we foul too much. You know, they'd like to be aggressive, but when you foul too much, you put the other team at the line, and that's what happened against Iowa last week.
Yeah, well, okay. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Thank you, Carl. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones today. Got a text in, says Lauren started discussing transfers but was interrupted by a caller. Could you discuss that again?
Well,
men's basketball, you're talking.
They're at a point of crisis here where players have to decide whether they want to come back or whether they're going to leave. Now, last year, some 700 players out of 349, I think there's a number of schools in Division I, which is roughly two per school, transferred last year. We would probably had that number virtually every year, a similar number. And so,
for example, last year, Memphis, six of their top eight transferred or left or recommitted somewhere else. So this is not the only.
Oh,
it's becoming much more common to at least talk about it.
I mean,
people,
when it got up to 400, I thought that was outrageous. That was some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's free agency almost. Mm-hmm. And yet it isn't. Because if Mark Smith decides to transfer, which he's got to decide which way he wants to go, he has to sit out a year. That's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to sit out a year, as opposed to, let's say, somebody brought up Pinky. I don't know at all that he's going to transfer, but if he did, he would be immediately eligible because he's graduated. Same thing with LaRon Black, but I don't think LaRon Black's consideration is not whether he wants to transfer to another school. It's whether he wants to turn pro, which he feels like he could make some money this next year and probably could,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of teams in Europe and you know, there'd be a lot of teams that like to have him.
And there's talk of it, Matisse Vasile, I guess, coming from Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was homesick at one point.
Yeah, I think he's going back. I think that's pretty definite that he won't be back.
Mm.
But you know, they've got to rebuild this team and they're in the midst of it, and they know it. And the pressure is really on, because if you don't replace some of the guys that are leaving, another low finish could be in the works. There's most of the teams in the Big Ten have got a lot more talent than Illinois right now. But, again, we don't know how it's going to turn out, because a lot of those teams will be losing players too.
9:44, we're at 36 degrees here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. By the way, that Loyola Ramblers team in 1985, that last time they made the tournament, they beat Iona in the first round, beat SMU in the second round, and then were within five of Georgetown and Patrick Ewing, but lost in 1985 to the Hoyas, who then went on to be upset by Villanova, of course,
in the
Raleigh-Massimino team. All right, let's go back to the phones here, and Jerry's up next on a Monday morning. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. To change the subject a little bit, actually a lot, you know, Roger Bannister passed away.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. 88 years old.
Right. On Bing, the search engine Bing, there's a terrific little short on the quest for the four-minute mile between Roger Bannister, John Landy, and Wes Santini. They thought that it was a physical impossibility to run under 4 minutes for the mile, but they all trained for it. And each had a different training method, and there's even footage of the actual race when Bannister did run under 4 minutes, and then there's footage of the race when Bannister ran against Landy. It's a terrific little short. It's on Bing, you know, the search engine.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice how the stands were packed. At one time, track and field was, I think, the major sport in the world. The stands were packed in England. They were packed everywhere. But the other sports have taken over. There's just so much money involved in football and basketball.
Yeah, they said when Bannister did that on that track, cinder track, they said, as he crossed the finish line, they announced the time. And as soon as they said 3 wound up being 59. That last part was never heard because it was drowned out by the crowd you're talking about.
Right, and I don't know. Track and field's a magnificent sport, but it seems to be it's way down now on the media. And
it isn't just the media, it's the fans. The media, I think we'd like to cover it, but if the fans don't turn out, who are you writing to?
Well, I think that's part of the media, too, because there's so much money involved in ESPN and the networks that they try and pump up people to be interested in these football and basketball. Hmm. But let me ask you, Lauren, we're close to the same age. At one time, how many track meets did Illinois have in the spring, outdoor track meets, let's say in the 50s and 60s?
Well, I don't know the number, but we had meets in the stadium. We had dual meets with Michigan, dual meets with Southern Illinois. The problem is to start having meets with a lot of teams and nobody keeps score. And you have a meet here and you send your own runners off someplace else to try to qualify for the NCAA. And there's no mile run. I mean, there's no way I can identify with 1,500 meters compared to a mile. I mean, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like to see the 100-yard dash and I liked it when it was in yards, and once it went to meters, it lost me. And the other thing is, the meets are really long, and you have men and women competing together now. And there are a lot of people who want to come out and watch the men run, or maybe there were a lot of people who want to come out and watch the women run, but you don't want to watch them both together. You put up the hurdles, and men's race, and then you have a women's race, and then you have a – I'm just saying, there are a whole number of factors there, and this may be a real minor one, but if you add them all up together, there's a reason why a track has died with the fans.
But how do they keep up the interest in Europe, where it's still considered one of the top sports?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Yeah,
are the meets run differently?
I don't know. I don't know how they're run over there.
Yeah. Well, it's a big sport in where Usain Bolt is from. So,
yeah,
in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So that's for sure. Hey, Jerry, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thomas is up next. We've got emails and text to get to. We'll do all that next after this timeout on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay tuned. Back on A Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking here, 9:54. A couple of notes here as we move along. We've got a couple of callers waiting, Thomas and Richard. Isaiah Martinez, the sixth Big Ten wrestler to win four Big Ten titles in his career, the first in Illinois history. And Martinez joins head coach Jim Heffernan on the list of four-time champs. Heffernan wrestled at Iowa. He won titles in 83 and then 85 through 87. And Isaiah Martinez and Jim Heffernan, the first wrestler-coach combination to win four Big Ten titles, and Martinez finishes his Big Ten championships career record 14-0, 10 wins coming against ranked opponents. By the way, redshirt freshman Mike Carr, the first Illini freshman to reach a Big Ten final since Martinez in 2015, and he finished second at the Big Ten meet up at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. All right, let's see here. Back to the phones, and I believe Thomas is up next. Hi, Thomas. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Just to comment to Jerry's call, from my perspective, when it comes to track and field, I don't know much about college meets, but I know from middle school and high school, there's been a restructuring of the order of events that has caused a lot of problems for sprinters, top sprinters. They're forced to coaches are forced to make a decision whether or not they're going to run a sprinter in an open event or a relay. It used to be spread out when I was coming up, and it was a little bit more opportunity to showcase your talents, with the way the restructuring or the way the structured events were at that time. But I had a question for you guys. I wanted to know, what did you guys think about the ban on youth football, how it's going to affect young players from developing their football skills if they're not allowed to play until after 12 years old, and overall for recruiting for the state of Illinois, if they're affected negatively, how would that affect the state of Illinois when it comes to recruiting?
Hmm. So the ban, and you're going to have to educate me a little bit.
You mean the ban up to age 12, is that it?
Up to age 12, is that the...
Yeah, they're banned, they're trying to pass legislation to, to ban youth football for 12 years, 12 and under, basically, so kids are not going to be able to get started until eighth grade now, eighth grade.
And that's going on at the Capitol in Springfield?
Yep, that's going on in Springfield. Mm. It's going on in California as well.
Well, you
it's
have
been
to
in the news, so.
You have to weigh the you know, the problems that you have with brain damage against, you know, I mean, these are undeveloped minds, brains, and I suppose it makes sense to wait until a little later. Now, I would say what that's going to do is you might have fewer people report at age 12 because they're not accustomed to playing since they're age 9, for example. I mean, I don't know that I think it's probably appropriate that they don't play at age 9. That's just me. Do you think they should?
Okay. Well, I played, and I didn't, you know, and one of the things that I know is that you don't really begin to learn how to tackle effectively, you know, until that time. You know what I mean? So it's like there's other options I could see. There's football leagues across the country that have foam, for instance, on the outside of the helmet that lowers the effect of helmet to helmet type of contact. You know, it just seems like that this is kind of like a knee jerk reaction, and that you know, there's other sports like soccer where concussions happen from time to time, probably not as much as in football, but you know, they're not trying to ban youth soccer. So you know, I personally think that it's not a big deal. I don't think that kids are at that age, that strong and that big to really do any damage. And I think that those kids that are that strong and that big, that can really do damage, coaches recognize that, and they either move them up or they, you know, they let the parents know that this kid is a little bit too big and too strong. So okay. I think the effect on football in Illinois is going to be dramatic. I think that it's going to hurt the inner cities. In Chicago, the youth programs that they have up there, I think what is going to happen, the kids are not going to have an option to do something to keep them out of the streets, more of an option. So I'm really against it, really against it.
All right. Hey, thank you, Thomas. Good to hear from you. And we got about 40 seconds left in this hour. I don't know, Richard, if you want to try, you can. You can be quick, or you can just call me back. That's up to you.
I can't be quick, Brian. I'll call back.
Okay. Very good. Bye. Thank you. All right. Reminder about Keller Williams and our friends there, Steve and Pam Starwalt. Make sure you check them out. They can help with all sorts of areas if you're looking to buy or sell your home, from the selling, home inspection, appraisal process. Our friends Steve and Pam, the husband and wife team at Keller Williams, will be with you the entire way. Give them a call at 239-7156 or Google Starwalt. If needed, you can Google Pam and Steve, or Steve and Pam, either way. They can help you out. They're the same people on the same page with you throughout the home buying and selling process. Steve and Pam Starwalt at Keller Williams. The news is next at 10 o'clock, WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking here as we work our way into the month of March. Of course, the Illini men's basketball season, women's basketball season is over, both losing in the Big Ten tournament. Spring football, by the way, starts tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the morning, so Illini football will get underway. They'll have practices March 6, 8, 10, 12. They've got 14, 16, then they take time off for spring break, 27, 28, 30. Tuesday, April 3rd, April 6th, and then Saturday, April 7th is the one open to the public, an open practice to close out spring football. That'll be from noon to 2 on Saturday, April 7th. But football getting underway now.
We get a half hour at the start of each practice, right? That's it.
What I understand, yeah. Uh-huh. So that'll be starting up. And we mentioned a couple of other notes. Kobe Bryant wins an Oscar last night for his animated film, Dear Basketball, stemming from a 2015 poem he wrote to explain his love for the game and how much it meant to him. And for those counting, that's 5 championship trophies, 4 All-Star MVP trophies, 2 Finals MVP trophies, 1 MVP trophy overall to go along with the Oscar. So there you go, Kobe Bryant. And Steve Stricker earning his first PGA Tour Champions victory in 8 starts. After 12 wins on the PGA circuit, he shot a total of under 14 under. So he wins that. Mike Small was at that same event in Tucson. He finished tied for 24th, minus 6 overall.
At one time he was -8, but he wound up -6, and that's a pretty good showing for Mike. No, he doesn't have a lot of time to practice.
And that's on the Tour Champions, the over 50 and over group. Right. Mickelson won an event down in Mexico, his first win in about 5
Stricker's
years.
Now 51.
All right, we've got Colin Likas with us here for a couple minutes. We'll get to him in a moment if he can hang on. And we've got Richard on the line who called us back. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Three things that I wanted to comment on. One of them you might say is a bit political. The Bob Richards matter being held out of the Hall of Fame. Some people think it's political. It's interesting that the U of I will, shall we say, baby a person like Saul Alinsky, his rules for radicals, and keep him on the faculty. He's obviously a radical liberal, a radical conservative. No, they kick him under the bus. I think it's disgraceful. Richards, I remember pouring Wheaties into a bowl and seeing Bob Richards on that orange cover, and I think he's a very respectable individual, regardless of his political views. The other thing I wanted to talk about was paying athletes. But before I jump into that, Thomas is bringing up the 12-year-old ban for football. I was watching the Bears one time 30 years ago, sitting on the floor, leaning against the couch, and our 3-year-old was in the room. He had been kind of watching it. All of a sudden, he comes running from one end of the room, crashes into my chest like he was a linebacker or a safety or something. I thought, yeah, he could have hurt himself. But anyway, paying athletes. I think we should pay athletes something, and I know it's being discussed, but only if their sport has a professional following. Now, certainly football and basketball, and you just mentioned Stricker and golf. If they, within, say, 5 years of leaving their sport in college, begin to make a living, then whatever they made from the U of I or from a college should be repaid and maybe with interest. That's my thought.
Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds complicated, but
it really is.
Thank you, Richard.
If you pay one athlete, you got to pay them all, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's 500 here.
Linda jumped on the phone with us here. Hi, Linda. Good morning.
Hi there. I come from definitely a football family. I had an uncle that was a lineman at Wisconsin, and my father, who was a running back at Bradley, was offered a contract with the Bears. It was a pretty poor contract, but that was George Halas. But that was in the early 30s. But I've been following all this talk about banning football. It's not truly banning football for kids under 12. It's banning tackle football. Hmm. And Jay Lehman commented on Facebook 2 or 3 days ago about this very topic. He said that he thinks that flag football can teach all the basics and maybe even better than tackle football for the young kids. And he was saying he was in favor for pardon me, I have had a cold. He was saying that he was in favor of tackle football for the young kids because he thinks that they'll learn the basics better, and that's what he would want for his kids.
Okay. Everybody's got a different opinion on it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you think the flag football is the way to go?
I think the flag football is the way to go. Mm-hmm. The kids can still have a lot of fun and learn football. And I know that I have one grandson that by the time he was 14, he'd had two torn ACLs, and he had to give up football very young because he'd been playing tackle football.
Well, you have to. The blocking is still full go in flag football, right? I mean, you're still going to be hitting people, and you can still break your leg or have or twist a knee.
Ankle,
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It isn't necessarily done in the tackling process.
No, but it aggravates it all. But it's not truly banning football.
Right.
I would hate to see that.
Yeah, we got a text from John that just seconded what you said there, Linda. So, all right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, yep. Appreciate it. And Ann is up next. We got Colin Likas here coming up in a couple minutes. Hi, how are you, Ann?
Oh, I'm doing great. Two things. Champaign Gorman was closed, and that is incorrect. I found out Champaign Gorman is open, and they are not closing. And the second thing, by the railroad track in Champaign on Market Street, what are they going to build there?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I know. I don't know. I know there's some there's some development up there in that part of town, if that's the area I'm thinking of. But
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
maybe somebody know what's going on.
All right. Hey, thank you, Ann. All right. Let's see here. I'm at 10:17. I could go three different ways here. Let's go to Marvin. Hi, Marvin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I'd like to compliment the News Gazette sports writers for their awards for their contributions to the newspaper, but I really felt like to drop the ball this morning on the sports page. Isaiah Martinez should have been on the front page, not Michigan. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Right,
thank you.
Thank you, Marvin. All right. Speaking of the News Gazette, Colin Likas is with us here. He covers high school sports. We'll take a quick break, come back, and get him on. Want to talk about Mahomet and Champaign Central's chances in the next round of the state playoffs, a couple other things he's working on. We'll do that next after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. Welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts. Whether you want to travel, move to a warmer climate, or invest in a hobby, you have dreams for retirement, whatever they might be, the experts at Busey Wealth Management recommend saving 10 to 15% of your annual income, 10 to 15%, to help you achieve them. And what are the best savings choices? Well, a 401k, of course, an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan. You contribute to that plan via the payroll deduction, which makes it easy to save for retirement. You consider, as well, an individual retirement account or an IRA. An IRA offers specific tax benefits. Two types of IRAs, traditional or Roth IRAs. When with both traditional and Roth, you can open an account at any time and make annual contributions. If you're trying to decide between a traditional or Roth IRA, utilize the financial calculator in the Resource Center on Busey.com. Also, talk to Busey Wealth Management's professionals. You can call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit any Busey location today. Whether retirement's approaching or many years away, UC Wealth Management can develop a strategy to meet your unique needs. We're back on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Got several texts regarding youth football. We'll get into that here in a moment. Colin Likas is with us for a couple of minutes. He covers our high school sports. Good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you, Brian. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
So we've got a couple of teams left.
Yep.
Playing.
Yep, we've got two teams in the 3A pool, and both could meet up in a sectional final by the end of the week. So there's a lot of interesting storylines here.
All right, well, tell us who the teams are. I know one from Champaign.
Yep, so we got Champaign Central, Jeff Finke's Maroons. They're coming in playing Springfield Lanphier on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And we've got Mahomet Seymour, Chad Benedict's program, playing Springfield Southeast on Wednesday. So those two games between them will have three – actually, I guess it's two ranked teams in the AP poll. Champaign Central's right on the outside.
What's the bitterness between Lanphier and Central?
The bitterness? I'm guessing it's probably stems from the fact that Springfield always seems to get the better of Central, at least very recently.
It seems like there's something personal going on there.
You think so? I might have to ask the guys over there. My plan is to head over there today and talk to some of the guys, hopefully. But, I'll have to ask them about that. I mean, it seems like the Springfield schools have, as of late, gotten the better of the schools from this area.
Yeah, there's some verbal going back and forth a little bit, I guess.
Hey, that's only natural this time of year, too,
I
think.
So. You saw Mohammed Seymour defeat Urbana. Tell us about that game, and is Urbana a team for the future?
Yeah, it was an interesting game. I actually picked Urbana to win. Chad Benedict gave me a playful little rib after the game about that, which I appreciate because, you know, it's all fun natured good stuff. Mohammed, they looked good. Corey Noe looked really good. He usually does, 36 points. Urbana shut him down in the first quarter. He scored 2 points in the first quarter, ended up with 36 anyway.
Whoa.
They tried to stop him, and they did. And then they realized everybody else was scoring, so they went back to focusing on everybody, and Corey Noe just tore him apart. As far as Urbana goes, I think they have some serious pieces in place to be a strong team moving forward. They've got two kids who are sons of former Illini, Sergio McLean and Chris Cross. Chris Cross, the son of Joe Cross. They've got a few kids who are graduating from this class, but they also have some juniors who are very strong. Peyton Sheen leading that group. They've had some eighth graders and seventh graders who are just racking up IESA either championships or runner-up finishes, as was the case this year. I feel like as long as these kids all kind of meet their potential, there could be a resurgence in Urbana, and that program could use it. They haven't won postseason hardware since the late 1980s. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Colin Likas is with us for a couple minutes here on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Just wanted to hit on the high schools that are left and still playing. Danville got eliminated.
Yes.
And that was a surprise.
That was, yeah. I mean, it was an interesting dynamic. I saw them against Centennial on Tuesday. Centennial, a fine team, but Danville had beaten them by 35-plus in each of their first two meetings, and Centennial had it within 3 or 4 points with a minute left. So this was a totally different game. And I know Scott Ritchie covered the Danville game on Friday when they played Moline, and he was asking me, is their offense normally so erratic? It seemed like it was very erratic. And I said, no, it's normally much more composed. Things are operating fluidly, whether they're through Kendall Moore or one of the bigs down low. And it sounded like they just couldn't get on the same page with their offense, and it ended up costing them.
Now, you're going to be picking a player of the year.
Yes.
And is it down to Moore and Binky?
Is there
another player in there?
As long as Corey Noe sticks around in the playoffs, he'll certainly have a fighting shot. Just going through coaches' votes, I mean, got a lot of support for Kendall Moore, a lot of support for Tim Finke, good amount of support for Corey Noe. I would say those three are the strongest candidates at this point. I've been working out the first team, and there's a lot more going on with that than there is with picking player of the year. But Tim and Corey have a good chance to boost their resumes if they can get their teams past these Springfield opponents, especially.
Now, you've got a couple of projects you worked on. You had a couple hundred high school students in here yesterday, right?
Taking
photographs.
262, according to our photographer. Spring sports photo shoot. Those photos were on 7 days a week, 5 photos a day, starting probably within the next 2 weeks or so, I would say. Just a way for us to reach out to the community and try to get some kids involved. You know, a lot of times coaches will send in their senior athletes. It's their last hurrah. Maybe some of them, you know, aren't in the paper so often. So this is a good opportunity to get a lot of kids recognized.
You've got another project you're looking for throughout the area, I guess area-wide, however wide that is.
It's wide.
1,000-point scores to do what? What are you trying to put together?
Well, the area is wide and tall, I guess. I'm not sure how you describe it. But, we have over 700,000-point scores right now on the basketball court, and that was only the first part of this. The hope now is to get in touch with as many as possible for some sort of video recording or audio recording, just to get their kind of reaction to playing at their school, what that was like, what it was like playing basketball then, what it was like to score 1,000 points, if it was a big moment for them, if it still is a big moment for them. It might mean more to some people than others, but we want this to be an interactive, immersive experience on the website, similar to what editor Jeff D'Alessio has done with the Illinois at 150 package, which I think has over 1,000 videos on the website right now.
That's such a huge assignment.
I'd almost be
afraid to think about it. It'll scare me off.
And I'll be getting some help from Mike Colgan, who's our score taker. It's going to be a long-term project. It'll certainly take up a lot of the summer months, I'm thinking, especially, since I'm jumping right into spring sports here after basketball.
You said how many? You've got a list of how many?
I've got just over 700 at this point, I believe.
From the area that scored 1,000 points all the way back to whatever.
All the way back to, I think the oldest one I have is 1939 from Cisna Park. Okay. So it goes well back.
Do you realize what it would take in those days to score 1,000 points?
Yep.
The scores were in the 30s and 40s.
Yes, and no three-point line, obviously, and that lasted and long beyond the 30s.
Right, and but just think about that. I mean, how you'd have to almost start as a freshman.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And, you know, that's entirely possible, depending on how small a school is. And Cisna Park is a
days,
small school.
No freshman ever, you know, freshman didn't play in those days very often.
Before we wrap it up, so people, if they're out there listening, and they should they reach out to you?
Yeah, if they are a 1,000-point scorer, if they know a 1,000-point scorer who maybe didn't see what I wrote in the paper this morning about this or isn't listening to this, email me at clikas@news-gazette.com, and we can get something set up.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Brian.
Keep up the good work. We'll take a quick break here, Ed. Come back. We'll get Michael Kaiser set up with the news headlines, back to our emails and texts as we continue after this on A Penny for Your Thoughts. All right, 10:32, and texts have come in. We'll get to some of those about the youth football, the tackling youth football, looking at legislation to ban the tackling part anyway in the state of Illinois. Get a lot of response on that. We'll do that after the news headlines here. And if you anything else you want to talk about, Monday Morning Quarterbacks, Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. Here's Michael Kaiser.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Welcome back, A Penny for Your Thoughts, here on this Monday morning. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We are glad you're with us. We do this every Monday during the course of the football and basketball seasons. Unfortunately for the Illini, the basketball season ended rather quickly. We checked it out last year, even with the NIT berth. The team played until mid to late March, so we're done a little early as far as basketball goes. But, of course, baseball is getting underway. San Diego beat the White Sox yesterday 7-6. Houston over the Cardinals 4-1. That was down in Jupiter. And Arizona beat the Cubs out in Arizona by the score of 2-0.
Now, are you picking up anything out of those preseason games? Are you getting any indication where the Cubs or Cardinals are headed?
Now, didn't Martinez have to be scratched or delayed?
Yeah, but he went out and he still pitched that day, but he just didn't pitch in the regular game. He threw several innings.
Well, having done spring training games, I can tell you on the radio, the first week and a half, you see the regulars for like two innings, maybe one at bat, and then they go to the clubhouse and they go back to the apartment or wherever because they're done. So you're seeing a lot of minor league players. But as they get closer, and the season's opening a little earlier this time, so in fact, they're all going to open on the same day, which hasn't happened since 1968, I believe.
Really? I didn't think that happened. I didn't realize that they did that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Text in. It says, I totally disagree with Thomas's assessment. I have a grandson that's 7 who's been playing football since he was 5 with parents that are overbearing, that are coaching a helmet that doesn't fit him. He's extremely aggressive, and a lot of little kids are, and they hit each other hard. My son played football, started when he was 12, was a really good football player. I hope that law passes. They can play flag football. And the human brain, this is from John, the human brain is not developed in childhood. These facts have been documented for years. Areas around, including the brain, are much softer and more susceptible to CTE, as they call it, at childhood. The facts have been known for a long time. And also a text in says, longevity of play is the main cause of the brain disease. Might as well eliminate the early years when players are generally not ready anyway, not to mention the questionable qualifications of some volunteer coaches. Many successful high school players don't play youth football, and many successful youth football players don't play in high school because of burnout. So there's some of the reaction to the, the legislation that's percolating over there in Springfield.
I think the only time I ever got knocked out completely in an athletic event was playing flag football.
Is that right, playing flag football?
I got killed.
I ran into a swinging gate on the playground down at Tolono Primary. I got knocked out, too. I remember that, unfortunately. Mike, hey, Mike, good morning. How are you?
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
I was going to talk a little bit about the JFL. I don't think, and I heard the comments you just made from other people, and I understand that. But I think the parents ought to decide. I don't think the state of Illinois ought to decide if you're, I go watch my grandson play sixth grade. They play with Macomb at Western on their field, and they got medical people on the sideline. They don't do the kickoff. They punt, but they don't return it wherever the ball goes. I mean, they really watch it well. Like I said, they got medical people, and they learn how to tackle properly, and they just basically learn how to run plays. They don't let the bigger kids run the ball. If you're over 100, if you're 100 pounds or over, you can't be a running back. So, I mean, they really watch it. They had all teams throughout that area over there, like Galesburg, Monmouth, all those teams, Abington, Canton. And a great turnout. And like I said, I think that, in my opinion, it ought to be the parents making that decision, not the state of Illinois. Then a quick thing on Illinois basketball. I went to that Nebraska game, and I was lucky enough to see them win. But I'm going to tell you, this is my opinion. I've followed Illinois for a long time. If you got a starting lineup at the University of Illinois, you don't have one Illinois player in a starting lineup, you have a problem. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Hey, Mike, thank you for the call. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think he started most of the season. Of course, he was injured late and didn't play. But
And Jordan's from Illinois.
Jordan's from
started
Illinois,
started a couple
right.
games.
Yeah. They've got a few, but no question, your point is really good. I mean, the University of Illinois is not getting the Illinois athletes in football and basketball that would make it be have a greater chance of success.
And then other people would say that, and I've heard other recruiting experts that you've talked to, and Scott and others, that say some years the state, the number of Division I level players goes up and down.
Oh, sure.
And it's been down.
Yeah, and it's going to be down next year.
Mm-hmm. And that's a factor as well, I would think. Yeah. So, all right, let's go back to the phones. Monday morning quarterbacking here at 10:43. Hi, Eric.
Hello, fellows. I got a question. You got an offensive line. Is there a weight cap for the entire section there? Is there anything like that that works, or how's that work?
You mean in at what level? Are you talking about college, high school, what?
Well, let's go at all three levels.
Well, there's no cap in high school or college on the weight of a player, no.
Well, I mean, the total, say the offensive line. See, the thing, what I'm getting at here is, you know, you got all these 300-some-odd-pound players, you know, and maybe if it was more like wrestling and, you know, you controlled that, your injury factor would reduce. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Puts in a weight classes more like football, like wrestling.
Well, let's say, how many players on the offensive line?
Well, you got five mostly, right?
All right, so you got a cap for this could be 1,000 pounds, you know, or whatever, you know, and then that way, I think you might have a reduction in injuries. You keep morphing the sports where, you know, you keep getting these just, for lack of a better term, freak of natures, you know, and it's in your quarterback and all your wideouts and everybody else they're getting crushed and.
Yeah,
I think that's a direction that somebody might want to think about going in if sports going to survive. Another thing is that offensive coordinator. I would have had him as a different position coach. I mean, that guy looks like he has a cardiovascular system like the size of a garden pea. I mean, he just doesn't look the part.
You're talking Rod Smith.
Okay, one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the phone call. A couple of football notes. A sad note. Buffalo Bills Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly. Once again, being diagnosed with oral cancer. This is a battle he's had before. He released a statement last week through his publicist saying he's shocked and deeply saddened by the news, vows once again to fight to overcome the disease. He did not go into specifics on the diagnosis. So, Jim Kelly, who underwent some initial cancer treatment back, I guess, in 2014, and was eventually declared cancer-free. So we certainly wish him the best. And Kent Brown tweets out today from the U of I that the Rose Bowl Stadium, in memory of such an iconic Rose Bowl legend, the Rose Bowl Legacy Foundation fundraising to erect the first Keith Jackson statue. Of course, he called a lot of games out there at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. 10:46. We'll come back with more. Penny, for your thoughts. Hang on the line, Cindy. You're next after this on DWS. 10:49 here at DWS. Penny for your thoughts. Got an open line tomorrow at 9 a.m. 10 a.m., now retired judge Michael Jones is going to join us tomorrow morning on a Penny for Your Thoughts and an open line coming up on Wednesday. But Judge Jones handled many, many cases over the years, just retired last week. We'll have him on tomorrow at 10, so we'll be listening for that. Open line in the first hour. And let's go back to the phones here. Cindy waited through the break. Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Hi. I just completely disagree with the caller who tried to indicate that the youngsters playing football, his reasoning, okay, first of all, sounded like he had an issue with the government. So don't let the child suffer because you have an issue with the government, that the parents should decide. Parents don't always make the best decision. Like, you can't put your kid in a pot of boiling water. The government says you can't. So, you know, we let the government make decisions on all sorts of things that parents can't. And you're teaching a child, he said they're teaching them the right way to do it. Okay, so we're teaching them the right way to do it. They mess up. Everybody messes up. We're all, when we're learning, damage has been done. Do it the wrong way, damage has been done. Good thing, medic's on the side. Oh, boy, damage has been done to that youngster. So I disagree.
Yeah, so you'd be in favor of eliminating at least the tackling part.
Yeah, and the flag football, you know, there's a lot of skill in flag football, you know. So I don't think head injuries, just because you have a medic on the side or just because you're worried about the government deciding, I don't think that that is beneficial to the child.
Yep. Okay. Well, very good. Well, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate your opinion. Got an email here from Mike on talk at WDWS.com. It says, I don't think there's a limit on the number of degrees a person can pursue in college. If a player decided to stay for, let's say, 20 years and get 4 or 5 degrees, can that player keep playing sports, or is he or she limited to 4 years of playing time?
They're all limited to 4.
That's right. You can do it, what, 4, you got 5 years.
We've seen guys play 6 years, I mean, actually 4 years within 6.
Oh, yeah.
But
Tracy Abrams, right?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So he can.
But you can only play in 4 years. Yeah. Now, you can actually play in a fifth year a couple of games, and you know, as long as you don't meet the standard, and then you can redshirt. But basically what we were saying is 4 years, yeah.
Also, a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line says medical personnel are on site to cart off the children who are concussed by helmet-to-helmet contact. I feel better now, is what he says. So
I think I understand.
Okay. We're at 10:52. We'll take another quick break, come back, and start to head for the finish line here. If you want to squeeze in with us here, you can certainly do that before the top of the hour. Again, we're on Monday Morning Quarterbacks today with Lauren Tate. And then we've got open line tomorrow at 9, and then Michael Jones, the retired judge, here from Champaign County in the second hour tomorrow. Back with more in a minute. A couple of other notes. Lauren mentioned the men's tennis team beat TCU on Friday, then beat the 2017 champion Virginia yesterday 4-3. They'll host Notre Dame on Wednesday at 6. Illini women's tennis, who's been very highly ranked, up to number 5 at one point, lost to Northwestern 4-2 over the weekend. They'll play Indiana and Purdue at Atkins this weekend. Men's golf out in Las Vegas this week. The women's golf out in Fairfax, California. Women's gymnastics, one of 3 teams at Huff. They finished first and set their high season score, 196.700. They'll be at the State of Illinois Classic Sunday. And the Big Ten Championships, by the way, for the women are here at the State Farm Center in late March. March 24th is when that
will be. Back to that women's tennis. That's the first time two highly ranked teams, that highly ranked women's teams, ever competed here. You know, Illinois was number 5, mm-hmm. and I think Northwestern was 14, and that's the 2 highest ranking teams that ever, because Illinois hasn't been ranked that high with the women, and they got the doubles point, and I thought they were in pretty good shape, and they just couldn't handle Northwestern in the singles and lost 4-2, but they still got a really good team. They had a really good crowd for that match the other day.
That's great to see, because the men have, of course, been ranked
many
years now.
Year after year, yes.
Mm-hmm. And also, Illini baseball beat Washington yesterday 7-1. They've won 5 in a row. They beat UCLA, who was ranked, in Arizona as well, up at the stadium there in Minneapolis.
Among those 5 teams, 3 of them have won national championships in recent years.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty.
That.
I think Dan's got a really good team.
I do, too, if the pitching just holds up. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. The pitching's got to hold up.
And softball won all 5 of their games down in Carbondale against Northern and Southern twice. They also beat Murray State, outscored those teams a combined 38-6. They'll play at Bradley on Wednesday, and indoor track and field as well, the NCAA championships for the indoor, the outdoor season soon to start. So I think we've mentioned everything. Anything else you want to add?
We can mention Martinez again.
Isaiah Martinez, yeah, fourth straight.
He's going into the NCAA with a chance to win a third national championship.
Yeah, and he beat the guy that beat him last year.
Yes, he did.
NCAA. A
really tough match. Really tough.
So congratulations to him and all the other Illini wrestlers and all the other Illini success over the weekend. Well, Lauren, thank you very much.
It's been fun.
And thank you to our callers and our texters. You can always text us, 217-351-5357, and email us talk@wdws.com. Just keep those in mind as we head for a Tuesday. Tomorrow, an open line at 9, and then retired judge Michael Jones is going to join us. We'll visit with him tomorrow in the second hour. So one of your favorites.
One of my favorites.
All right, Michael Jones tomorrow at 10. Have a great day, everybody. Brian Barnhart, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.